This is Marketplace. I'm Kai Ryssdal. Later this year, late August, we're going to mark the 60th anniversary of the March on Washington and the famous speech by Dr. King. The speech about the dream, yes, and equality. But if you go back and read it, really, it's a speech about how this economy back then, and this is true even now, actually, about how this economy often willfully leaves Black Americans behind. The economic vision of the civil rights movement often gets lost. So we've gotten Dr. Robin D.G. Kelly on the phone. He's a professor of American history at UCLA to talk things over. Dr. Kelly, thanks for coming on.
My pleasure.
A lot of the conversation, most of the conversation, I think, about the civil rights movement is about it as a political movement and as a social justice movement. Could you, in the first opening minute of this interview, give us the background of the civil rights movement as a labor and economic movement, please?
Right. Well, the civil rights movement was always an economic movement because legalized segregation was an economic system. You know, it determined wages, determined job classifications, it determined where people can live, it even determined where you can go to school. And one of the big issues that was raised was desegregation. Desegregation was intended to end practices like taking Black people's tax monies to subsidize white education. And finally, the Black community was a labor community. And it's not an accident that Southern labor unions discriminated, but Black labor organizations fought for the right to equal wages, access to housing, and fair rents, that sort of thing.
Hmm. What happened, though, at the national level to make the civil rights movement, and I don't know, you tell me, I don't know whether it was a conscious shift or something happened, but it became less economic justice and more political and social rights?
I actually don't think that the civil rights movement ever left that agenda. I think an element of it, and I could illustrate it.
Go ahead.
So if we think of the civil rights movement as extending well into the 1970s and 80s, then we have to consider the National Welfare Rights Organization as civil rights, fighting to extend welfare rights and for basic income. And we have to remember, Coretta Scott King, you know, after her husband was killed, took up the fight for full employment. Mm-hmm. Full employment was one of the most important civil rights agenda items, and they got the passage of the Humphrey Hawkins Full Employment Act. But what happened was that some of these initiatives died. They died when corporate interests and the Federal Reserve and members of both political parties agreed that the problem facing the economy was wage inflation.
Inflation, right.
Exactly. And wage inflation meant you solve it by crushing labor unrest. You solve it by reducing wages. And then it enabled companies to seek out cheaper labor outside the country. Yeah. So I don't know if I could say that the labor movement, or rather the labor agenda, completely disappeared. What did happen, though, and one of the most tragic stories, I think, in all this, is that some Black elected officials took a stand that was very opposite of what Dr. King stood for. I mean, one example, Dr. King died in Memphis fighting on behalf of sanitation mm-hmm, workers. Mm-hmm. A decade later, Maynard Jackson, who was very close to Dr. King, was mayor of Atlanta, and he faced a sanitation worker strike. And what did he do? He broke the union. And he got the backing of the NAACP and even Dr. King's father, who ironically called the union outside agitators. Hmm. And that was a foreboding of what was to come. The civil rights movement betrayed its agenda.
That's such an interesting package. The whole thing about Coretta Scott King and Humphrey Hawkins, and the thing that we talk about on this program all the time, the Fed chair going up to do the Humphrey Hawkins testimony, and how it did all become about wage inflation. Let me ask you about something else you said, though, which is that the civil rights movement extends in the 70s and 80s. You just talked about Maynard Jackson and his role in civil rights in Atlanta and what he did in the sanitation strike there. Do you think there is a connection between the civil rights movement in this country of the 50s and 60s and what is happening now in this country?
There is. The inheritor of the economic justice agenda of civil rights I would argue, is the Poor People's Campaign, led right now by Bishop William Barber and Reverend Liz Steele Harris. They are leading a campaign calling for, again, basic income, the restoration of welfare, and really solving the problem of poverty through the redistribution of wealth.
Let me ask it a slightly different and perhaps a more pejorative way, if you'll bear with me. So the civil rights movement of the 50s and 60s in this country, and look, I've only seen it in newsreels, as have you, and I'm sure most people, it seemed to be ever present in the news. I don't think the Poor People's Campaign has that presence in the national conversation. And granted, the national conversation now is diffuse in many more ways. But I guess you're so right
yeah. about that.
And I guess does the movement now suffer from that?
Well, the reason we don't see the Poor People's Campaign is because we are saddled with an understanding of the economy that's based on growth. Mm-hmm. And that is, you know, that wasn't the civil rights agenda. That's the antithesis of what Dr. King imagined when he said we need a revolution in values away from profit motives and property rights. He made this speech in 1967. He says, you know, true compassion is more than flinging a coin to a beggar. It comes to see that the edifice which produces beggars needs restructuring. That is the basic premise of the current Poor People's Campaign, which goes against the basic premise of all the economic reporting, except for your show. But all the economic reporting we get, you know, is about how do we grow the economy based on the current edifice, not restoring what we used to call the social wage.
Dr. Robin D.G. Kelly is a professor of American history out at UCLA. Professor Kelly, thanks for your time, sir. I appreciate it.
Thank you very much.